Let's take the example that there is a human being, a person, an individual, or ourselves, and if we have come from another country, from another nation, and we come to this country, to this place, and we land at the airport in London, and we are strangers to that location, and we are like travelers, and we thought that when we land at the airport, then in front of us, the most important thing with regards to going further is, where am I going to go from here? What's my goal from here? What's my mission from here? What's my plan? That's the thing that's going to be in that person's head. For example, a person disembarks at London and he needs to go to Manchester. So in his mind will be one question, prime question at the forefront of his mind, that how do I get to Manchester? This is the question, isn't it? In that person's mind. Soon as he lands at the airport, gets off at the airport, he'll have fikr, concern, that how do I get to Manchester? How do I travel to Manchester? Because that's his destination and he's a traveler. And the traveler always tries to get to the end point. He'll see, ask himself, is there somebody I know? Is there anyone who can speak Urdu? Can I ask that person, how do I get to Manchester? Because he doesn't know anything himself. This happens, isn't it? Happened with me various times. With yourself, it will have happened. In the world, a person travels. He doesn't know everything, does he? He has to ask, I want to go to this city, how do I go? And he has concern and fikr, no other worry at that time. So then that person will tell you the method or the means, the technique. Oh, you want to go to Manchester? Okay, fine. So firstly, what you need to do is you have to go out of here. There'll be a bus. Sit on the bus with this number. Okay, and then that journey that you will take, it will take you 5 or 6 hours. But if you want to get there quicker and comfort, then from here there's also a train. And then he'll tell you the train, where to catch it from. He'll also give you the third option, that if you want to, if you've got some money and you are in more of a rush, you want to get there quicker, then you have the third option, go by aeroplane. Go to the airport and the plane will take you there, domestically. So you have the three options in front of you. Say subhanallah. Because we are musafirs, travelers. Are we not musafirs? We are all musafirs. The difference is that we don't know that our destination is what? What's the airport we have to leave from? Which city have we come to? We don't know this, but we are all musafirs. Just like I say, that praise Allah, so that Allah Ta'ala knows, subhanallah, that in their mind something is being absorbed and digested. So now, there are three options for that traveler. The example we've just discussed. You'll look at his capability, capacity, ability. What type of traveler am I? That how quickly do I need to get to my end point, my destination? Oh, you say, okay, sorry, I'll go there quickly. Or no, I'll go there slowly. I'll take the bus. I'll save a few pence. And if I need to, I'll go by foot. There's no time factor, no time restraint. But if there's a person who's in a rush, needs to get there quickly, you'll say, I'm in a rush. So the train will take me there quicker. The third option, oh, I'm in a lot of rush, I don't want to waste my time, I've got to get there quickly, I'll work a bit more, I'll have to spend a little bit more, isn't it? So what will he do? He'll go by plane. Yes, he'll go by plane to get there quicker. Yes, so he'll arrive there. So my brothers, we are in this world, we have come to this world, and this is the hadith that we are all what? Travelers. We are all travelers, whether we understand this or not, but whatever Allah Ta'ala has said, that's what we are. That's what we are, travelers. Now, if we are travelers, then there must be a destination, isn't there? So if Allah Ta'ala said that you are musafir, end of story. We're travelers, whether I understand or not, whether we understand or not. If Allah says you are a human being, and I say, no, I'm a monkey, like we all say, Allah Ta'ala says you are the best human beings. You are the highest superior form. We say, no, we want to do the actions of monkeys and apes. And so we become like monkeys and apes. We do actions of the animals. Allah Ta'ala says you are ahsan al-taqweem in the Quran. Allah defines, we say, no, we don't want to accept that Allah. We're better like owls and birds. We're better like that. So if we take the majority of people, they prefer to remain like owls and birds. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, rather you are Hasan al-Taqweem, that the world, the creation, my creation is proud of you, envious of you. But we don't want to accept that. Do we accept? If we accept it, we wouldn't do the actions we do today. So we can see from the actions of man that what is he? What does he consider himself to be? His amal, his actions will tell us that what do I think I am? Do I think I'm high class, low class, I'm superior? Let's look at all day long we do. Do we do the actions akin to animals or akin to human beings? So how can we say that we are deserved of being defined as ahsani taqweem, the superior form of creation? Can it be? So first and foremost, brothers, we all need to correct ourselves on this point. That after today, the life we live, we will live according to the style of the title. According to the title Allah has bestowed to us. Will we do this, brothers, inshallah? So what's the difference in our lives? That we have to depart from the animal instincts and lifestyle and do the actions that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. The style and the manner in which He has created us, we need to live our life according to that way. Will we do that, brothers? Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Ahsani taqweem, you've become, alhamdulillah. And your life's changed and you were wandering around like animals. Allah Ta'ala says that their life is improved. Transfer the name from the list of animals to the list of the human beings that I created. That's all there is to it. Whoever's understood this point, straight away his life will have improved and changed for the better. That's why we go to the majalis, we do dhikr, gatherings of dhikr, remembrance of Allah. We go to the walis of Allah to listen to their words, because we want to change our lives, improve our lives for the better. We haven't come here to spend time, waste time. There were many other things we could do to waste time. Thousands of actions we could do right now to pass time. But we have given our time, we sacrificed the time. We haven't. Allah Ta'ala has made us come here. Otherwise, can we come? Can I come? Can any of us come? How can we leave the dunya and come here? Can anybody come? Does anybody come? So these are Allah's favors, blessings, mercies, the rewards of Allah. The how, in which way, in the techniques Allah utilizes to explain to us. We don't understand. We think, I've come myself. Your father cannot even bring you here. Nobody can bring you here. Me here, us here. Until today. Until today. Tell me. Who has come on his own accord? Very few people are there whose fathers do their tarbiyah and improve the nurse, earn money from here, do it like this, send this much money here, go to that country, do this and do that. Very few and far between fathers are there who have fikr, concerned, I want to make my children so they're ahsani taqweem. Very few people. Very few people. Isn't this the case? Isn't this the case or not? So Allah Ta'ala is the one, alhamdulillah, that on any maqam, at any time, in any place, Allah selects a person, Allah guides a person towards ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Look at your history, background, that I am the worst sat in front of you, that how Allah Ta'ala took a person out of darkness and wretchedness and took the person towards salah, prayer. What dirty habits Allah Ta'ala extracts a person out of, dirty and horrible actions a person does, Allah knows best. Only Allah knows what that person is doing. The person is not even aware himself that how dirty and impure he is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He takes that person out of wretchedness and includes him in the list of the walis, of his friends, the walis of Allah. So this is Allah's grace, mercy, blessing that He's brought us here. What have we learned today? Don't forget today's lesson. We are all what? Say it loudly. We are insan, human beings. We are travelers, musafir. And every musafir has an end point, a destination that he's traveling to. So now we're travelers. We have to travel to our destination, our manzil. So if we travel, then we'll get to the destination, won't we? If we move. So everybody knows that what is our destination, subhanallah. Allah says, خَلَقَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Subhanallah. وَمَا خَلَقْتَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ That you are unique form of creation. The creation was created for you and you are for me. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says, خَلَقَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah says, everything, all the creation is for you. Trees, branches, and the wind for you, the airs for you, the seas for you, the oceans for you, the fish for you. Every part and form of creation is created to serve you, O man, and you, O man, are for me. Allah Ta'ala says, say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. We say, Allah, everything's for us, but we are not for you. Is this our life, my friends? Is this really our life? Is this the style of repaying the favors that we say, Allah, everything's for me. I will eat, I will drink, I will sleep, I'll enjoy life. And if I don't get enough sleep, I'll complain. Oh, I didn't get this, Allah, I didn't get that, I didn't get this. This is up to me, I don't like this. Oh, leave Salah. What's the point of praying Salah? We say, amazing. Whatever we don't get, we complain. We say we want everything and we complain to Allah. So are we doing amal action on the formula that Allah has prescribed to us? Allah says the whole universe is for you to serve you, but you are for me. But we don't work on this. So what's the second lesson of today? If we remain alive, how will we remain alive? For our Khaliq, Allah, our Creator, say subhanallah, subhanallah. Two things we've attained. What great things we've attained, huh? So two lessons, great lessons. So now our direction of life has changed for the better. So this is our life, not for money, wealth, wife. These are all needs. They go on the side in parallel. But our life is for whom? Allah, our Khaliq, Creator. So what's my manzil? My destination? I'm a musafir. Lesson number one, I'm a traveler. Musafir, what's my destination? Allah. My life is for Allah, to attain Allah, to get to Allah. Who do we need to get to? Allah. Whoever's attained Allah, he has attained his destination. He has reached his destination. Subhanallah. Otherwise, no human being can get to his destination. I've done this, I've acquired this, I've achieved this, this many houses, four wives, children, this many, I've done this, and that much has come. And Pakistan, from here, I went to here, I made aeroplanes, machines, manufactured technical components. No, no, this is all a mound of dust and dirt that will end when we go to the grave. Everyone who says this, who makes this their end point, the final conclusion is dust, soil, earth. Is anyone beyond that? Today the graves, go to the graveyard, see. The graveyards will shriek out, call out, yes, it's me who you're looking for. When I was in the world, people used to say to me, oh, he's a big man, big shot, he's achieved this, he's manufactured this, he's invented this. But look, today my body, the insects have devoured my body and there's nothing left. By chance, sometimes if you dig a grave, and I've seen this myself, that the grave is dug to bury someone in. When you see the grave next door, when that's being dug, the grave to bury, and the bones are visible, this was that insan who was buried before. And then the person shakes and trembles. So me and you, will we not be there? We are musafir, we are travelers, we will die. We will be finished. So we have realized, listen, when we are travelers, our destination is Allah. So if we are musafir, destination is Allah. We are travelers, destination is our creator. So do we want to attain that destination? Do we want to get there? How many of us are there who want to attain this destination? Tell me. Yes, if we want to attain this destination, then most definitely that we need to adopt a mode of transport to take us to the destination. How can I say that I have? If I'm stood at the airport in London and I say I want to go to Manchester. Okay, sir, what's your mode of transport? No, I want to get to Manchester, but without going onto any transport. People say, look at him, what's he talking about? They'll snigger us. 3 days I'm stood there. I want to go to Manchester. I came to go to Manchester. Okay, go. Have you got money? Yes. Yes, you have luggage? Yes. So why don't you go? I don't want to adopt any mode of transport. I just want to go. So we are traveling like that today, that we know what's our destination is Allah. We know that, isn't it? But we are stood in the same place. We haven't moved. So we want to get to Allah, but we don't want to move. We don't want to travel. We don't want to adopt the means to get to Allah. So there's a question. A question arises, that here we've asked the question, okay, I'm in London, I've definitely embarked at London, I want to go to Manchester, tell me how to get there. There's so many people to us. Someone says go by bus, railway, etc. So how do I learn the method to get to Allah? Which ticket shall I buy? Which transport shall I sit on? Okay, step back a bit. Allah Ta'ala is saying, Musafir, you are my travelers, and the destination is me, and I will tell you the path. Allahu Akbar. I will tell you the path. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. That's it. Questions have ended. Doubts have ended. Allah says, you are musafir, travelers. Destination is me, myself. Allah says, don't ask anyone for advice how to get to me. You don't need to. Allah says, I will tell you. Such a great mode of transport I will give to you. Allah says, you will sit, you won't have even sat on it, and you will have reached to your destination. Subhanallah. And whoever sits on that transport, whichever human being sits on that transport, he can say, Alhamdulillah, I'm arriving to my destination. But the person who doesn't sit on that mode of transport, then that animal, monkey, how can he say he's going to get to Allah? Can he claim? Just analyze whilst I'm speaking. The points we're talking about, that we all sat down for Jannah. I want to go to Jannah. I want to go to paradise. Okay, if you want to go to paradise, Allah Ta'ala is saying to us that I've told you the method. Ya Allah, please tell us that on which mode of transport shall I sit so I can attain you, Allah. I can get to you. I can reach to you. Allah says, come, I will tell you. Say Subhanallah loudly when I tell you. Not now, when I tell you. Subhanallah. Have sabr, patient. The mode of transport's coming. Yes, so we're going to sit on it, aren't we? That the mode of transport Allah is going to give to us. And Allah is promising, I will tell you, immediately sit on that transportation. You won't have even sat on it, and I'll take you to the decision. Allah tells us, what's the mode of transportation? We are travelers. Allah is the destination. Allah, tell us, what transport should we use to get to you? فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greatest. Allah says, to get to me, what's the mode of transport? Is my dhikr. dhikr, my remembrance. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum, when you remember me, adhkurkum. Allah says, immediately at that time, from my side, I will start to remember you. Allah says, you extend your hand to me, I extend my hand of friendship to you. We've met and you've attained your destination. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum, washkuruli wa la takfurun. Be grateful all your life that I've given you the mode of transportation. Allah says, you don't understand what I'm saying? Now tell me, apart from this, what else do we need? Even then, despite all this, we don't do dhikr. Tell me, then is there a greater wretchedness than this? Misfortune than this? We accept, we are travelers. We know our destination is Allah. Allah says that, I've given you the transport. No, Allah, I don't want to take the transport. I just want to stay standing in my brothers. We want to attain our destination. Allah says, do my dhikr. If you remember me, you will come to me. You will reach to me. You'll get to me so quickly. Allah says that I will start to remember you. And when I remember you, then the whole universe, my whole universe will remember you. And it will recognize you. This is the man, Ahsan al-Taqweem, Ahsan Makhlub. Allah says, that's why I created you, this wahid insan human being. He wants to get to you, Allah. We've recognized your servant, oh Allah, the animals, the creatures. Say, but that's why we are wretched in this world. We've lost out. We have no respect. Nobody recognizes us. Take hold of the right transport, my brothers, the right methods, the means, my brothers. Do you understand what I'm saying? Properly you've understood? Will you do dhikr? Now, you've understood the objective of dhikr. Yes, this is the objective of dhikr. That we, via the action of dhikr of Allah, need to attain Allah's nearness. Without the dhikr of Allah, we cannot attain Allah's nearness. Remember this, remember this. Shall I explain in a bit more detail? My heart feels like. Shall I explain to you in the light of tasawwuf, in the light of the teachings of tasawwuf? MashaAllah, you're a Sufi, you're following the teachings of tasawwuf, so you understand. I'll explain dhikr. The remembrance of Allah. Now listen, that how should we do dhikr? How should we remember Allah? And how a person gets to Allah? Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, Allah's dhikr is such a mode of transport, such a means of transport, that Allah Ta'ala has given us some sources, some methods that suddenly, or you could say gradually, through stages, Allah Ta'ala pulls His servant towards Himself. Stages, levels. Yeah? So what's the first stage? The first step, Allah Ta'ala says, is that Allah says, remember me, start to remember me. Start to remember me. A person starts to remember Allah. The human being says, Allah, I want to embark on this mode of transportation. So then he starts to remember Allah with his tongue, verbally. He starts to remember Allah with his tongue, reciting. When he starts to remember Allah with his tongue, then his mode of transport starts to get close to what? His destination. Say subhanallah. The same human being. So after the tongue, he goes to the second level to get to Allah's qurb, to get close to Allah. What's that? He starts to do dhikr from his heart, in his heart. So the heart. What's the difference between dhikr of the heart and the tongue? When a person does dhikr with his tongue, then he does dhikr with his tongue. And when he goes higher in level, he goes further, then he starts to remember Allah in his heart. And then subhanAllah, he does dhikr with the tongue of the heart. The heart speaks. Before the physical tongue in the mouth was speaking, then the higher stage is that the heart speaks. It remembers Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. SubhanAllah. Then the transport goes ahead to get close to Allah. And then so from the tongue he goes to the heart. And then the tongue of the heart speaks. So the tongue stops wavering, stops speaking. And then the tongue of the heart starts to speak. The tongue remembers Allah. Before the tongue said Allah, the tongue goes silent, then the heart starts. The tongue says Allah, 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 Allah. When a person gets to this stage and starts to do dhikr of Allah, then consider, praise be to Allah, that he's got to the high level, he's close to his destination. SubhanAllah. So, the destination, just like the plane, gets quicker to the destination. This flight is going to this destination, this flight is going to this destination. So our flight is gone high now into altitude, and then the tongue stops, and the heart starts to say, Allah, Allah, Allah. When insan works out on this, then he hears from his ears, his heart speaking, just like the tongue was speaking, same way he can hear from his tongue, Allah, 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 the heart starts to speak. And the ears hear this, subhanAllah. Just like the musafir, he's serious, he's a serious traveler. How much desire does he have to get to his destination? Allahu Akbar. So then when it comes from the heart, he gets more qareeb to Allah. Closer to Allah. Then what happens? Then the tongue is silent. Then the heart becomes silent. Allahu Akbar. And then the third stage is what? The heart becomes silent. And the dhikr that he's doing in the heart, it becomes embedded. the dhikr becomes embedded in the heart, absorbed into the heart. The heart doesn't speak, rather it becomes a natural inclination of the heart to do dhikr of Allah. Natural trait, natural action, habit. Before it was what? I'll explain to you. That firstly, a person had to focus on his heart and make it habitual, used to doing dhikr. And then when he goes to the higher level, the next step, that he doesn't have to force his heart to do dhikr, rather his heart automatically does dhikr, and the heart cannot leave dhikr. It cannot leave dhikr. He wants to not do dhikr and the heart doesn't leave dhikr. It becomes natural for that person to remember Allah. In that position, then the tongue doesn't do dhikr and the heart doesn't speak, rather automatically, habitually, naturally, the heart is remembering Allah automatically. In other words, the heart has immersed itself into recognition of Allah, become close to Allah. So the person gets very close to Allah. And then the fourth level comes. And this is a fantastic level. And in very simple words, I'm explaining to you, because the tashri of tasawwuf, the commentary of tasawwuf, is very detailed. So the fourth level is what? Because you get into your destination to Allah, isn't it? So in the fourth stage, the same dhikr from the heart to the heart speaking, then it's embedded in the heart. He goes to the next level. What happens? Allahu Akbar, all of this ends. That's ended. The recognition, the awareness, forcing yourself, remembering, that ends. And then what happens is that dhikr that he used to do, that he had to think about, that the tongue stopped, the heart thinking about in the heart, forcing the heart, now the destination has come. That whoever he remembers Allah, Allah Ta'ala says that he is now 100% immersed in dhikr, that he's come totally into the heart, absorbed into that. He's come to the destination. So Allah has come to the heart. And what that happens then, Allah's name is coming to the heart. Then that person is lost in Allah Ta'ala's greatness and power. And this is the benefit of doing dhikr. Yes? A person gets lost in the name of Allah, in the remembrance of Allah. Soon as he bows his head, he sees in his heart always is the image of Allah's, Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat, Allah Ta'ala's power, Allah Ta'ala's greatness. That image is in that person's heart all the time. And he's fana, immersed. He goes beyond being immersed in fana. Because madhkur, fadhkuruni adhkurkum, he's come to that position. He's got to that station. That's that maqam, that level. How can I explain to you that you'll have heard that awliya Allah, that from the tongue's great mentions, Ayn al-Haq, some people say. Some people say that I can see the world and everything like a small piece of dust next to me. And subhanAllah, a wali of Allah, he says that my level is that I'm above all of the awliya Allah, subhanAllah. So when they say these statements, in reality what they are saying, it's not them who are speaking. Rather, this is hadith Qudsi, isn't it? That my servant, when he becomes mine, he gets close to me. Allah says, I become his hand with which he moves or touches. I become his eye with which he sees. I become his tongue with which he speaks. Subhanallah. My brothers, Sufis, this is the manzil, destination, and this is the meaning and name of life. That if you enjoy listening, then those who are traveling on this journey, imagine their enjoyment. What fikr of the world will they have, tell me? Those who close their eyes and they're lost in Allah's tajalliyat, Allah's greatness. Will he have worry of this and that and this and that? Tell me, will he have worry? Concern, subhanallah. Tajalliyat. They are enjoying themselves in Allah's remembrance. That from their tongues, whatever words emanate, that Allah's permission allows them to speak. Allah Ta'ala's decision always is with them. Allah speaks for them. Oh, Mahbub, it's not your hand, it's my hand. You didn't throw, it was me who threw. Allahu Akbar. Allah said this, didn't he? Subhanallah. So the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah who we see, we hear the great events. Who are they? What are they? They've got to madhkur. They have reached their destination of remembering Allah at the highest level. They are lost in the remembrance of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has explained to them that now you've sat in the car, you are travelers, and you're traveling, and you've got to near to your destination, alhamdulillah. And then that's the final stage, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala takes them to the maqam, to that level. And they become Allah's friends. They become Allah's friends, connected to Allah. All of these stages, be careful and have one thought and regard. That all of these stages that we pass through, even to fanayat, being totally immersed in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance, assigning yourself totally to Allah, this maqam, that a person is totally immersed, totally drowned in Allah Ta'ala's power and glory and greatness. Alhamdulillah, I've had sohbat company of great wali of Allah. Can there be a person who's 80, 90 years old and he sits until 2 a.m. in the night? He comes in front of the Kaaba. He doesn't leave that station and then till 10 p.m. the night, 11 p.m. then he goes and does wudu and comes back and he just sits there and remembers Allah. Can anyone do this? Can anyone? So a person who does these actions, he must see something. He's not looking at the Kaaba, he's looking at the creator of Allah, of the Kaaba. Subhanallah. They don't look towards symbols. Hazrat Sahib, you haven't eaten anything. Won't you eat anything? Hazrat Sahib says, no, I'm not hungry. Subhanallah. Hazrat Sahib, you say, I'm not hungry yet. I don't feel like eating yet. You eat. Yes, not that I'm a wali and I'm this. No, I don't feel like eating yet. I'm not hungry. My heart doesn't feel like eating. Subhanallah. And he's got extreme illness, fever. Hazrat, rest. That's okay. I'm fine. There's no problem. Allahu Akbar. That person who sat looking at the tajalliyat of Allah, the greatness of Allah, then is there anything greater than that in front of that person? Why? Because where did he start from? That he, soon as Allah Ta'ala told him the transport, he sat onto that transport with the methodology. So what I say now is, in any maqam, in any station, from the first mode of transport to the highest level of transport, and I'm telling you the life of the true walis of Allah, any maqam you won't find them, that Sharia and Sunnah is being compromised by them. This is the haq, the right path, the wali Allah who's on the haq path. This is the sign of recognizing the wali of Allah on the right path. Some say, we've arrived. Oh, you haven't prayed. I pray in Medina in front of the Kaaba. Allah, you've heard this, haven't you? It's at somewhere else in the world. Oh, don't ask me. I see this. I pray there and I see this, and this wali Allah came to me now, and people are running after them and their claims. And that the true wali Allah who sat in the right car, the first stage until the last stage, that you will never see, that even if they're immersed in the remembrance of Allah, I'm talking about the Naqshbandi sheikhs in our silsila order, that when they were remembering Allah, the precious Salah, the maraqib, lengthy nights of winter, morning time comes, alhamdulillah, tahajjud, prayer. In the same way, go back into Allah's remembrance, maraqaba. Then when salah time would come, then Allah, Allah, suddenly their eyes would open, subhanallah. Wudu, salah, pray salah. Not that this, that they delayed prayer or left salah or left congregation or they did non-sharia actions. No, no, no. Life becomes elevated on the path of sharia and sunnah. And the practice of the deen got better, greater. And never were they conscious. Conscious were they at that time when Allah was calling that, oh insan, human being, it's your duty now to do these actions. That's the difference between the true wali Allah's, and may Allah Ta'ala forgive those who are not on that path. So shaitan, he can demonstrate jinnat, like they show wrong actions. People who are overwhelmed by jinns, that he takes his hand, he waves his hand this way, things happen, and they say, we have supernatural resources assigned to us. Is that a wali Allah? Is that the criteria? No. A person who attains his destination, he is immersed in Allah's remembrance through dhikr of Allah, he gets close to Allah, he is the proper musafir, proper traveler going to the right destination. And when he gets to that destination of fanayat, immersed in Allah's name, and he's drowned in Allah's remembrance regularly, 100%, every action he does according to Allah Ta'ala's desire, his tongue moves according to Allah's desire, whatever he speaks is siddaq. When he does dua, the dua is accepted, subhanallah. Whatever is in his mind comes from Allah and is fulfilled with Allah's karam and mercy and blessing, subhanallah. And the creation thinks he's something else, but he knows that he's going towards his destination, which is Allah. So when we hear things like this, then we consider, it's not for me, it's for this wali Allah, it's for that person. This is not the case. This is not the case. Ajeeb point I will present in front of you. Allah Ta'ala says that, why do you consider this difficult? That every human being can get to this rank. Every human being I want, Allah Ta'ala says that, to be near to me. You're not moving yourself. You're leaving it to others. Allah is hard. How can I do this? Allah says that, I've made your difficulty very easy. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say to you. What I'm telling you. Allah Ta'ala says that all your hard work has been ended. Whoever you want to attain, have you not understood what I've said? Allah Ta'ala says, what have I said to you about this? That you want to attain me, Allah. Allah says, I've made your actions easy for you. Easy for you. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, what have I given you as a prescription, as a formula? That I am closer to you than your jugular vein. Say subhanallah. Do you understand this verse? That insan, Allah is telling the human being, that you are seeking your Lord, your creator. He's not far. I am closer to you. You know this vein, the jugular vein, I'm closer to you than that. So Allah is saying that your journey is very easy. That I've come that close. All you need to do is just the distance of the heart, the width of the heart, the wall of the heart. How far is that? Tell me. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So to go on the journey, this is a small journey. A minor journey, Allahu Akbar, that I am there, close to you. I'm so close to you, closer to you than your jugular vein. And where do you have to arrive to? Your manzil is what? Your qalb, your heart, your heart. So how far is the heart? It's within you. So Allah says that how is far the heart, how far is the heart from the jugular vein? Allah says that you cannot travel that far. Allahu Akbar. So easy I've made it for you, Allah says. So you yourself have distanced yourself from your heart. Such a small distance from this vein to the heart we have to travel. And Allah Ta'ala says, with regards to that, the start, the suffer, with fikr, wajadufin, Allah says, I'll continue to travel with you, to travel with you. And we are in deception ourselves. We don't try to travel. We don't try. So will we try, brothers? Inshallah. Tomorrow we will be asked that if we are musafirs like this, we don't attain our destination, then tell me what will be my condition in the grave. How will I answer? Man Rabbuka. How will I answer? Man Rasulukum. Man Rabbukum. The questions, how will I answer them in the grave? So this is what we need to understand. All the means and the methods Allah has given to us. That's why I stated, Allah says everything, fasting and salah and hajj and zakah, these are means to get to Allah. Then will they make us get to the destination? That's why Allah Ta'ala said that along with this, if you don't do my dhikr, then Allah says you cannot succeed. Salah, that salah is great, which is dhikr. And fasting is great, which is dhikr of Allah. And all the worship actions are great, which of dhikr. That's why dhikr is the ruh, the soul. Allah says that when you travel with dhikr, then your salah will travel, your hajj will travel, your zakat will travel, your fasting will travel and go towards the right way. But just need to understand in the right way. Alhamdulillah. This is what Allah Ta'ala will allow to move in the right way. So when we sit on the plane, we have to go to the plane, then you're hungry, food will come. We have to eat and drink water, will give us tea. This happens, isn't it? Or we just sit empty. So Allah Ta'ala says this, that subhanallah, sit on the mode of transport given to you. All of the things I'm giving to you, ibadat, this is all nur ala nur. Everything you will get, all of the rewards of your ibadah and your salah will not be a waste of time. Will have ikhlas, sincerity, your hajj won't be for showing people that you come back and sin again. No, one hajj in your life will be enough for you. Alhamdulillah. Your Ramadan won't just pass quickly after 30 days. You become the same as you were before. The yuzga won't be like this, that it won't purify you. No, all your actions and worship will be elevated. You've sat on the right mode of transport and you'll get the right food to do your ibadah properly. I think now we've understood all the words properly and correctly. So my brothers, Allah has given us dhikr, the great na'mah of dhikr, great mercy and karam of Allah. Consider yourselves as musafir. Understand the value of what we've got with ikhlas, sincerity. Start to practice Allah's remembrance. Shun the sins and take hold and adopt the Sharia and the Sunnah. If we don't adopt Sharia and Sunnah lives, then our mode of transport cannot travel. These are the passport, the ticket for the traveler. When we want to sit on the mode of transport, first Allah says, passport please, ticket please, then I will let you sit on the transportation mode. So Allah asks for the credentials first. Show me your ticket and passport, ID. What ticket and passport do you have? Ticket is this, Sharia. Passport is Sharia, Sunnah. Yes, what's the stamp? Sunnate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have both things, then sit on the mode of transport. If you don't have this, then wait, because Allah says, I won't allow you to travel. So first we need to repent and promise Allah the Sharia and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallam. We will embrace with strength. Allah says, now sit in the car, in the mode of transport, do dhikr. Otherwise, without Sharia and Sunnah, the dhikr will not benefit. We eat haram and we take interest and we're like gangsters and we don't observe parda and we do dhikr and we wait for benefit. We're deceiving ourselves. Lie and do dhikr. Backbite and do dhikr. No. No, dhikr will not give benefit. Dhikr will give benefit at that time. The mode of transport gives benefit at that time when you have both things. The passport, which is stamped with the visa of the Sunnah, that's when you can sit in the plane. Otherwise, you can't sit in the plane. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شفيع المسلمين دعوة ياسين الحبيبين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا كثيرا
اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وأزلنا وجدنا وخطنا وعملنا كل ذلك عندنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واجعلنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافع البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا. اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
آمين.